And let's say hello to Frank Turner. Welcome back to Kerrang Radio.
It's very nice to be back again. It's been a while.
It has indeed, and you're bouncing around the world, as per usual. But yeah, you seem to be all over the place at the moment.
Yes, well, you know, I generally do that anyway, but I've just been finishing a new record, gearing up gearing up for the release of that and all that kind of thing. So, yes, there's. I will be doing much more bouncing around the place quite soon.
And, of course, a lot of your travels are well documented in your new book, The Road Beneath My Feet.
That was a great segue.
Yeah, it worked out well.
Didn't it? Yeah, well done. Indeed they were. Finished the book, it came out. It was a number one bestseller, I'm Ooh. Pleased to say. Which hilariously means I got number one in books before I did in records, which makes me wonder if I've been barking up the wrong tree all these years.
You can do both, surely. Was a book always on the cards for you, do you think?
I think I probably thought that at some point I would write a book in my life. I'm not sure if I thought it would be now or about this particularly. But, you know, the idea was sort of, I sort of had an idea and they had an idea and we came together with something. But I'm really happy with how it came out.
Yeah, I would like a signed copy, if at all possible, please.
Of course I will. After I follow you on Twitter.
Well, yes.
Which we've been discussing.
Well, you know what to do. But anyway, look, on to matters far more important. Thank you for supporting our Rock Against Depression campaign.
It's my pleasure. I think it's something that's important to do.
It is. Well, you know, fantastic. And also, I understand that you're actually an ambassador for CALM, which is the Campaign Against Living Miserably.
That actually came about through my friend Dan, who Dan is a guy who used to put on my sort of very early DIY punk rock shows in Brighton, and it has remained a good friend ever since. He allegedly has a pair of pants that I left at his house in about 2006, which he plans to eBay. Anyway, he wrote this utterly fantastic piece for CALM about his own personal issues with mental health and depression and that kind of thing. And it was just such a wonderfully moving, incredible piece that I sort of, you know, retweeted it or whatever people do in this modern age. And the guys involved in the campaign got in touch and asked if I'd be interested in being further involved. And I said yes.
Oh, fantastic. So is depression something that has affected you directly or indirectly in your life at all?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I kind of... This is something that's it's quite important to me to sort of talk about in the precisely correct terms. I'm not all that comfortable about talking about the exact details of my own personal travails with that kind of thing, though I can say that, yes, it has very much been a part of my life at various times. Having said that, I mean, one of my main bugbears is I think that it's really important to talk about these things. And I'm hoping that those two statements aren't contradictory. You know, one of the biggest things for me was learning how to talk about it to my friends and to my family and to not sort of keep it completely under wraps. Having said that, and that doesn't necessarily mean I need to discuss the exact details on a radio show. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, totally understand.
But yes, I mean, it is something I have personal experience with.
A lot of people do, don't they? And actually, do you know what? People on the outside may well look at your life, for example, and think, what's he got to be worried about? You know, he travels the world, he plays music, he has a great time. But it really doesn't matter who you are, what you do, how successful you are, how much money you earn. You know, for example, depression can affect everyone. You know, we all find pressures and stresses in different places, don't we? It doesn't matter who you are, what you do.
Completely. Well, depression's it's a very, very personal issue. It's a sort of, I mean, for me, it's a discussion almost with yourself about yourself. And it kind of doesn't quite really matter what other people think or what station you might occupy in life. If it affects you, it affects you, and everybody has to deal with it in their own way.
And depression as well is actually more prevalent in the world of music and entertainment than people think. You know, there's a lot of musicians, comedians, actors who suffer from it. But we only really hear about it when someone famous, you know, for example, Robin Williams, will go and do something about it, you know, and tragically will take their own life. But it just goes to show and blow open the myth, you know, if you're successful, then you don't have anything to worry about.
Right, completely. And I think, well, also, I think for a lot of creative people, and this is certainly true for me, there's a degree of kind of sort of manic depression, bipolar, whatever you want to put it. I mean, I don't want to use too many strong words, but, like, you know, there are certainly, for every moment that I'm kind of like super excited and up and animated and engaged and feeling creative and attacking the world with new ideas, you know, there are counterbalance moments to that. And there are days when I wish that everything was a little bit more even keel, but Yeah.
I mean, I've got friends who are very creative, stand-up comedians, in actual fact, and one of them in particular, who shall remain nameless, you know, he has said before that he is very much a tortured soul.
Yeah, well, I live in total awe of stand-up comedians because, I mean, I get up on a stage, but I've got songs and a guitar and a band and a PA and all that kind of thing. A stand-up comedian gets up and just is them for an hour or whatever. That terrifies me.
I couldn't do it. But listen, moving on from that, here's a question for you. It's only natural, right, that people do have, you know, bad spells in their lives. We all have bad times. Do you think it can be difficult for people to see that they might actually, you know, be suffering from depression, but instead of admitting or talking about it, they sort of just pass it off as, you know, perhaps being a little bit sad or a bit low, a bit down, and sort of try and ignore it when really they should be, you know, being more open about it and, you know, and talking to someone about the way they feel?
Yeah, I mean, well, certainly, as I said earlier, talking about it is the key sort of message to get across, is because I think that isolation, depression is not a good thing, but depression plus isolation is really the problem area. You know what I mean? So I think talking about it's important. I mean, I think that everybody has their own coping strategies. Do you know what I mean? And some people can kind of deal with it in and of themselves. I have friends who just kind of go away for a while and they come back and they're fine. And if that's what works for you, that's great. But like I say, I think more people are more open minded about it. People are more, there's more kindness out there than I think that a lot of people with depression assume. You know, I think one of the things for me is I assumed that if I told anybody about it, that they would just kind of laugh or be disinterested or think that I was lame. And actually, people do care. People aren't that sort of cold and heartless, and it can be the first step to sorting things out.
And of course, there's certain male stereotypes that provide issues in this respect. You know, real men don't talk about their problems. You know, that kind of thing. It's not considered very alpha male, is it?
No, totally. And I that kind of stuff does my nut in because, I mean, it's so sort of like primitivist, do you know what I mean? It's like, ugh, make fire, ugh, not talk about problems. You know, it's just, surely we live in a slightly more enlightened society than that.
Well, you would hope so. Can I ask you this? I mean, if you don't want to answer, that's fine. But have you had, you know, any real sort of direct experience, you know, sort of maybe a friend of yours, someone you've known that, you know, has actually done the unthinkable, you know, and taken their own life and sort of suffered in silence as well for so long?
I have a very close friend of mine took his own life a year and a half ago from Washington, D.C. And it was that thing of just like, he was the guy everybody went to with their problems. And it turns out that he felt that he couldn't go to anyone with his problems. And it infuriated me because he was such an emotionally sensitive soul and everybody owed him one. You know what I mean? And if he'd just talked about it, then we could have sorted something out.
You can't help but think that many lives, like your friend's life, could be saved if only, you know, these people felt that it was actually okay, you know, to talk about depression. But instead, you know, they're very much putting on a front and they're suffering and letting it all build up in silence. It's a really terrible, tragic thing.
Yeah, it's tragic. I think one of the other things in all of this that's really important is that I think there's a tendency among some people to be like, well, some types of people have depression, and if you've got it, if it's something that's in your life, then you're a depressed person kind of thing. And I think that's wrong. I think the thing is that everybody has their peaks and troughs, you know, and there will be people who will spend their whole life being completely well adjusted, but then they will have a moment where they're not, and there are some people who have it more often or whatever. But this idea of sort of categorizing people as to whether or not that it's an issue they suffer from or don't suffer from strikes me as counterproductive. You know, I think it's just something that everybody has a tendency towards, and whether or not they're lucky enough to escape it or to get involved in it or whatever, well, that's just life. But do you see what I mean? I don't think we should be painting people into sort of corners as being sort of sufferers or not sufferers or anything like that.
No, I get that. Do you think there's a case for saying, though, that, you know, it's, you should try and nip it in the bud somewhat before it gets out of control and you can't handle it anymore?
Yeah, and in saying that, I don't want to be blasé and sound like that's the easiest thing in the world, like it's not a big deal, because of course it's a big deal. And particularly if your problems in life stem from alienation from the people around you, whether it's your family or your friends or whatever, for me, for anyone to sit there and go, well, just talk to your friends about it, I mean, that's, you know, that's useless. And it can be really difficult to find the right person to talk to. But a close friend, And of course, there are services out there, Samaritans, people like that, and that kind of thing. I mean, I know actually in this day and age, the internet, one of the good things about the internet is the sense of connectivity that you can get from it. And I know people who've sort of made friends on the other side of the world and ended up talking to them because it's a sort of safe space. You know, it's somebody they can talk to that's not going to affect their day-to-day life. And it's just sort of breaking that barrier of just learning that you can discuss it and you don't have to deal with it completely on your own is a really important thing.
No, it's an important point because actually, do you know what? If you are going to pick up the phone and call Samaritans or perhaps Calm, you know, it's worth remembering that quite often it can be easier to share your problems and chat with complete strangers.
Yes, very much so. And I mean, you have to be careful. There are downsides to the internet as well, and there are kind of darker corners of it and that kind of thing. But there are certainly, I've seen a fair few examples of people using the kind of the distance and almost anonymity of the internet as a way of being able to talk about the things they need to talk about somewhere, you know, rather than just keeping it completely penned up in themselves.
Would you say to those that, you know, are scared to talk about their problems that they might actually be pleasantly surprised by the reaction they received if they did open up a little bit?
I can only speak from personal experience, and I was definitely pleasantly surprised on that level. You know, I managed to kind of figure out a friend who I could talk to about it. And when I did, his reaction was essentially, "You melon, like, why didn't you talk to me about this earlier? Why on earth have you, you know, of course I care. Of course I give a damn. Of course I want to help." And it sounds ridiculous to me to say it now because in retrospect, it's obvious. But at the time, that was shocking to me in a good way, you know, and it's gone from there to be something much more dealable with.
But of course, there are people out there who don't have anyone to talk to. You know, people who are genuinely lonely and might not have family, you know, close friends. And, you know, we should encourage those people, you know, to not be afraid of picking up the phone and talking to, you know, the people at Calm, for example.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, the people at Calm do a fantastic job, and there are a fair few organisations like this, and I can speak from experience that the people who work at these places, they're fab. They're great. They're really open, understanding people. And it's not, it's not even just like, you know, they're trained to deal with these situations or whatever. They're just good, friendly, honest, caring people who want to help. You know, that's the reason they're there. The reason they exist is to help. They have no other agenda, so that's definitely an option.
It's all about making that first step for me. It really is. And just having, just knowing that actually it's okay to do this, to talk to someone about it, to pick up the phone, you know, it's okay. It's a positive thing for you to do. It's not negative.
Yeah, very much so. But even just to go to the Calm website and just read what they have to say, you know, or there are other organizations as well. And, you know, and just to kind of sort of try and, you know, even something, yeah, like I say, as simple as just kind of reading some of the blurb on a website can be a first step towards something. And it doesn't even have to be something quite so kind of like structured or medicalized. I mean, for me, like, you know, my biggest escape from all of this has always been music, you know, has always been sitting down listening to records. And there are certain records that will lift me out of it. And even if they're the kind of records that drag you through first, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I don't want to go and listen to like the B-52s or something, do you know what I mean? If I'm feeling low. But something like, you know, I listen to a lot of Arab Strap or even like Radiohead and stuff like that. But it can be music that's like uplifting in the final analysis, you know, and it's so sort of cathartic, that kind of art. So stuff like that's great as well. Another one actually that is worth mentioning. Do you know about Post Secrets?
No, please explain.
Post Secrets is this utterly, utterly fantastic project that somebody set up where basically people write their secrets on a postcard anonymously and they send it to an address and that's it. And they've been doing it for years and now they publish these books of the collected Post Secrets, and I mean they're artistically beautiful and it's very moving and all the rest of it, but the overwhelming effect of reading through, there's a website, postsecrets.com, and they publish these books and stuff, and the overwhelming effect of reading through all of these is to realize how much everybody's got their own foibles and everybody's messed up in their own way, and that can be a really kind of affirming thing, you know, to realize that it's not just you who has kind of weird feelings and dark patches and all the rest of it. And yeah, I mean, that's certainly been something that's helpful to me.
That sounds like a fantastic thing. It really does. I will investigate that for sure.
Yeah, it's a great project. It's been going for many years now, and it's definitely something that I would recommend.
Are there any other sort of, I guess, things you would recommend for people? I mean, I often think that, you know, just having a hobby or just being active can be a very positive thing and often quite a welcome distraction from what might be going on in a slightly darker side of a person's life.
Yeah, definitely. This is going to sound like the least me and possibly least punk thing I've said in quite a while, but like... exercising is a really big thing for me and for a lot of other people who I know have issues with this kind of stuff. Like, I have a friend who just goes jogging and it straightens them out.
Do you know what? Lots of people say that jogging, running is a great leveller.
And it's just, first of all, it's something to do, something to occupy your mind, but just I think the physicality of getting blood flowing around really helps. So yeah, that would be something I would recommend as well.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Exercise. I've been doing some myself, Frank, trying to get rid of the extra weight around the belly.
I was going to say.
Oh, well, thank you. Supposed to say I look fantastic. But no, seriously, running is a great thing to do. And also, it's inexpensive. You know, all you've got to do is run out your front door.
Yeah, well, you don't really need any kind of like equipment, do you know what I mean? Or training or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, whatever it might be, you know, just little things like that, I think can be helpful, because again, it's something other than just kind of sitting there, kind of trapped at the bottom of a hole. You know, any kind of activity is good.
I couldn't agree more, Mr. Frank Turner. Thank you so much for getting involved. You truly have rocked against depression.
My pleasure, man.